So Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death has prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Diana, for that reading. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to English Congregation Livingstone Church. My name is Kelvin. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is such a joy this morning to be able to open up the Bible with you and to hear what God has to say, especially on Resurrection Sunday. And so that's what I'll be talking about. Keep your Bibles open if you have one at Hebrews chapter 7. But before we do that, why don't we ask God for help for us to understand what he is saying to us here. Father, we thank you that you've given us the Bible, that we can come to know who you are and what you've done for us, and that you are a God who can maintain perfect love and perfect justice at the same time. Thank you that you've come to let us know this. And Father, as we look into these verses, these words, give us an open heart and open eyes to see the truth that is in here. Give me the ability to able to explain your words clearly and faithfully, and give us the will to obey and to submit ourselves to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I am thinking about getting a new phone. But there are a lot of phones out there nowadays, you know. And I just don't even know where to start. I'm not a phone person in general. I haven't done a lot of research, and now I realize if I were to actually buy a phone and buy one properly that I don't have to, you know, replace or actually it's good, it's going to take me a lot of effort. It's just so much hassle. I kind of have to, though. I kind of realize I have to, because last weekend I was coming down from the Blue Mountains. This phone is starting to not do its job right. I'm not really familiar with coming down from the mountains, and I need to get back from the Three Sisters back here to church. I look at my phone and I said, oh, I've got 70 to 80% batteries. You know, it should last me the whole way. It's an hour and a half drive. And I'm going to turn on my GPS, look at Google Maps, and it will navigate me back to church, because there are a lot of people coming down from the mountains, and I just want to make sure I not get stuck in traffic. So there I was, set it up, and then on the way, somehow, you know, we'll be traveling, and then the GPS signal would be lost, and then it would just skip, and I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I'm like, well, I guess I'm on a big road, so that's good, I know what I'm doing. By the time I got down to the foot of the mountain, just the foot of the mountain, the phone was on 2%, and it just turned off, and I'm just like, what is this? I ended up in Parramatta. Which is okay. Parramatta is not too far, and I know how to get my way back to church from Parramatta. I just realized this phone is just not dependable. The good thing is it can still do most of the normal things, so I can still call, I can still receive messages. But pretty soon I realized if it keeps up like this, I need to replace it. I need to get a more reliable phone. How about you guys this morning? I'm guessing there are things in your life, things around you and even your house right now that needs replacing, upgrading, updating. It might be your fridge, could be the washing machine, could be the TV, it could be the lawnmower. It's always, you know, the garden shears. It could be your walk at home, and it could even be the shower head. The truth is, if you sit down and think about it, given the time and money, there's got to be something, not just one, maybe even a few things in your life that needs repair or need replacing altogether right now. But this is nothing new, is it? We replace things in our lives all the time. From big things to small things, we accept it as a fact of life. That's why almost everything we buy now at department stores comes with some sort of warranty, you know, 1 year, 3 years, or 10 years. Companies are trying to reassure us that when we spend money on their products, that it will last a distance, that our money is well spent, you know, on quality items. At least, you know, if something goes wrong with them, they'll fix it or they'll replace it for free. In other words, the company's promise to us that what we buy will do the job, will fit the bill for 1 year, 3 years, or 10 years. But have you noticed, it's very sneaky, but maybe they do on purpose, maybe they don't, that inevitably when a product starts to just go past the 1, 3, or 10 years, it just breaks down really badly all of a sudden. But I guess this is, again, nothing new. We replace things in our lives all the time. Big things, small things, we accept this idea of replacements as the fact of life. This morning, however, I want to introduce you to a unique and exceptional offer. Because you see, this passage that was read out for us today in Hebrews chapter 7 promises something that comes with a lifetime guarantee. And it tells us that Jesus is the best mediator between God and humanity, and this comes with a lifetime guarantee that he is the best person, the only person, to bridge the broken relationship between God and humanity, each one of us. And not only that, as he does this bridging, he does this work, this job, this role perfectly, better than anyone else in all of history and all history to come. So much so that he allows anyone, whoever, anyone to come to God through him. And that the standing before God in Jesus will always be guaranteed. And I guess you compare this claim, this promise, to our everyday normal of everything, having an expiry date. This is an extraordinary claim. In your world, where nothing lasts forever, and you expect things to break down or fail eventually, the Bible claims that salvation in Jesus is permanent and complete. Now I want to go through the passage and show you what I mean. Just a little bit of background of the section that we read out today will come from this book called Hebrews. It is a letter written to first century Jewish Christians. It explains to them from their scriptures, which is what we call the Old Testament, that the man Jesus, who many saw crucified, buried, was the Son of God incarnate, promised by God, that he is the unique and ultimate Savior that God has promised that he will provide all along to save his people, Israel, and all humanity as well. Here in chapter 7, it focuses on this topic of the priest or the priesthood. There's a couple of pictures to show you what they used to do. A system of worshipping God that was put in place when the Israelites were rescued from Egypt, from slaves in Egypt, to be God's nation. This is needed because essentially God is holy and perfect. Holy good, holy wise, holy loving and just. But his people, they were consistently broken and sinful. They're evident by the fact that they repeatedly disobey him and repeatedly just want to worship and fell in love with other gods. And so this priesthood was instituted by God to function as a bridge that could enable the two parties, God and his people, to have a relationship, to come together. But at this passage points out that there were two glaring inadequacies of this priesthood. The first one is in verse 23. Very simply, it just says since death prevented them from continuing in office. Very simply, men that get appointed as priests eventually die. They all die. All people die. Men, women, eventually we all die. And so they could only do the job of bridging the chasm between God and man for as long as they live. Not only that, for as long as they're fit and healthy. Now think about it like this. Have you ever had to ring up a big company? Maybe you have a complaint, maybe you require some sort of service, you lodge a claim or something like that. It's a hassle. One thing I've learned is that the first time you call up, you really got to note down who you're talking to. Why? Especially a big company. The second time you call up, it's just a completely different person. Then you're going to explain to them, oh, this is my situation, this is the complaint I want to make, this is the claim I want to lodge. You're just going to explain everything again and again. And sometimes this second person you're talking to might give you something totally different from the first person. The whole process is just a hassle to really trying to get to what you want. Depending on the priesthood, it's kind of like that. You see, your priest, the person who was responsible for mediating, for enabling a connection between you and God, he will eventually die, and then a new person has to replace him. And in one person's lifetime, this person might have to be replaced because of death or illness several times, and you're going to be reconnected time and again. It is an impermanent priesthood. The second problem of this priesthood is in verse 27. It says that it is incomplete. Day after day, the Old Testament priests have to offer sacrifices, first for themselves and then for the sins of the people. That's verse 27. In other words, the second problem is that this connection that the priest made between God and his people had to be reconnected all the time. Day after day, you notice the animal sacrifices need to be made. What's more in here is you've got to notice that even the priests themselves had to reconnect with God and have that connection reestablished over and over again with sacrifices. This incompleteness is kind of like putting on sunscreen. Think about it. Here in the Australian sun, where it's strong and harsh, if you're going to the beach or just anywhere you go that you're going to have exposed skin in the sun, it is super important to reapply your sunscreen after a few hours. You know, it actually doesn't matter how expensive your sunscreen is, whether it's SPF 30 plus, 50 plus, 100 plus, whether it's oil-free, whether it's like spray-on, waterproof, it doesn't matter. No brand or special brand. If you're planning to stay in the sun, you have to reapply. Because if you don't reapply, no sunscreen is complete enough to keep you away from being sunburnt. It's that simple. No sunscreen lasts long enough, powerful enough to protect you from the sun for a whole day. Let alone a once for all after one use. Imagine that. Sunscreen you put on once in your lifetime. That's it. You're never again you'll get sunburnt. And so just as the priest here needs to make sacrifices on their own behalf, the person who sells you the sunscreen, the person who puts on the sunscreen for you, the person who makes the sunscreen, needs to put sunscreen on themselves too, to protect themselves from the sun. And so you put these two things together, all together, this system of priests and animal sacrifices was only ever able to present an imperfect people before a perfect God in a limited sense. But I guess without a better alternative, this was the only way that people could come to God until something better comes along. Kind of like you don't get to buy things like VCRs anymore. Maybe some of you don't even know what that is. That's the thing that came before DVDs. It's so hard to actually find an ad ad for a VCR. Now I see what I've been missing, you know, all along my whole life. And when something totally new and something better, a new way of doing something comes along and is discovered, you know what happens to the old? The old and limited way is discarded, it's superseded. No one sells these, no one buys these anymore. Coming to God through Jesus, it's like the new and perfect way that overcomes the problems of the old way and sends it away into useless oblivion. Now, how is the priesthood of Jesus better? Again, this passage shows us in both these ways. First, in verse 24, he says that unlike the old priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus is permanent. That is in verse 24. He has a permanent priesthood because he lives forever. Now, not only can he then permanently breach the connection between God and you without needing to be replaced or without ever needing taking a break, this access to God through Jesus is also 24/7, permanent in the sense of without disruption. You can always, whenever, go to God through him. And also secondly, unlike the old priesthood, we are told in verse 28 that the priesthood of Jesus works completely. He's able to save completely or to the uttermost those who come to God through him. That is another way to say there is no need to supplement the one act of sacrifice that he did. No need to add on, okay, to continue to add to what he's done. His one sacrifice is powerful enough to cover all of humanity's sins from past, present to future. Anyone, no matter who they are, what they have done, can come to God through Jesus. And anyone who comes to God through Jesus will always, always find God. And this sacrifice is the core of the Christian belief. That Jesus, as in verse 26, he is holy, he is blameless, he is pure, he is set apart from sinners, he is exalted above the heavens, he is the Son of God. This sacrifice, what was it? He offered himself to bear the guilt and corruption of all humanity. And he did this voluntarily when he died on the cross, that all may be able to draw near to God through him, rescuing all who trust in him from God's punishment against the sins and corruption that they have committed. And on top of this, what Jesus has done for all humanity, this reconciliation with God through this priesthood that he's doing, this is the salvation that comes with a lifetime guarantee. That's what the passage says, because after Jesus died, was buried, God raised him back to eternal life. And this is why we celebrate Easter. Because for as long as he lives, this salvation, this complete and permanent salvation, happens. This complete and permanent salvation continues to exist. This salvation is in place for as long as he lives. Think about it like this. I'm sure many of us would have had the experience of going to the petrol station, getting a car filled up. And maybe as children, we watch our parents fill the cars up. Have you ever worried that they will never come back? I don't know, maybe the first couple of times you may have. And because, you know, as you know, you fill up the car, whoever fills up the car afterwards, they have to go away from the car. They've got to go to, I guess, the little shop bit, and they have to pay. The only reason why they get to come back to the car, and that you, or maybe you're the one filling up, that you get to come back and leave the place, is if your debt is completely paid for. If you don't pay the debt, you don't get to come back. In a similar way, it's not a perfect illustration, but in a similar way, Jesus died to figuratively went to pay the sin debt of all humanity. And his resurrection, his coming back from after making that payment, his coming back from death means there's nothing else left to pay. Death has no hold, no claim on him. Jesus bore all the death, all the destruction that was due from all the evils of humanity, and he bore on himself, he's paid it all. The power of and effects of sin upon humanity has now been paid and effectively broken. In other words, that's why Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of his perfect priesthood, that his, verse 24-25, his ability to save permanently and completely hinges on the fact that he always lives. He has been resurrected to live forever. There's nothing else in all the world that comes with a surer guarantee than this. You know, in the end, I could go and buy a phone tomorrow. No shops open tomorrow, maybe the next day. In a few years' time, though, you know what? I have to replace it again. And there's nothing, this is nothing new, you know? We're used to replacing things in our lives all the time. Big things, small things. We accept replacement, old for new, as a fact of life. Nothing lasts forever. Everything fails us eventually. This is our normal. But everything fails us except for Jesus Christ, being the permanent and complete high priest. Everything we need replacing except for this salvation, this reconciliation that Jesus brings with his death, with his resurrection. And all this is possible because he is now living forever. No one has ever made this unique claim, and no one will ever can ever match it. He has borne the punishment of all the sins and evil of humanity, and he suffered death, and after 3 days he's completed the payment and he's resurrected. This is why Christians celebrate Easter. This is why it's such a joyous occasion. This is why, as David said, just then in his prayer, our hope depends on this. And so finally, this morning, you may be skeptical about hearing someone rising from death to life, someone claiming to be the Son of God. And it is, let me tell you, an unbelievable feat. This is not someone just died for 5 minutes and then had an experience and then came back. He died for 3 days, came back to life. You might be skeptical, that's okay. You know what though, if he truly did, he has accomplished something that no one else has and will be able to do. Let me encourage you to find out more today. In the end, I also want to ask you, what standing do you have before God? Before the holy God who made you and sustained you? Look at the brokenness around in the world and in yourself. On what grounds or basis do you have to come before this holy and glorious God? Remember, even the priests of Israel, of God's people, who mediated for God and them, they needed to make sacrifices for their own sins. And so, if you're holding on to your good works, your nice manners, or your restraints from just being evil, what does that guarantee you before God? It is in Jesus and his resurrection alone. Does anyone have any guarantee of being worthy to come to God? Don't just take my word for it. Read the Bible with someone, explore. As John said, there is a Christianity Explore course coming up. Sign up for that if you want to find out more. But today, if today you realize for the first time that Jesus is and will be the only constant in your life because he always lives, he can always intercede for you, fully save you, then from today you need to start placing your life in the hands of this great high priest who has guaranteed your acceptance before God for how long? As long as he lives. He has paid the penalty for your sin. He will continue to intercede on your behalf for as long as he lives. Maybe you've made this commitment a long time ago. And I want you to ask yourself too, whether you are still holding on to Jesus as your only Savior. Remember that the resurrection is proof and reminder that he saves completely and permanently. He takes you from start to finish. He takes you all the way. You don't ever need to start replacing him with something. He doesn't get old. He doesn't get obsolete. You don't need to start taking over yourself or to attempt to replace him with something better or newer. Your Bible knowledge, your church attendance, or even your church ministry, that's nothing to earn you an audience before God. From start to finish, you're in need of Jesus to be your perfect high priest. He's the one who has risen from death to eternal life. There's the proof that he's God's promised and chosen Savior. This is the good news. What are you going to do with it? This is to let me challenge you to remember and celebrate Jesus' resurrection and to honor him who saved you and to tell the world of the salvation that has come in Jesus. Let me pray, and then I will tell you something about the response slip. Father God, we give thanks that you've done an amazing thing, that you've raised your Son Jesus from death to life, and you've given him not just a life that will end again, but eternal life, glorious life, And that because of Him, we can come to be Your children. Lord, many of us may have questions about what this is and what this looks like and what this salvation means and what it means for us to hand our lives over to Jesus. Father, we pray that You give us the boldness to find out and to raise up faithful brothers and sisters to point us to You and Your Word. And we thank You for this Word, and we pray in Jesus' name. Again, amen. This morning in your bulletin, you'll notice you'll have a response slip. And it's time for you to, I guess, reflect what the resurrection of Jesus means for you. If you would like to find out more, and you want to sign up to reading a biography of Jesus in the book of Mark, please leave your contact details so that we can do that. Again, as Reverend John mentioned, the details is in your bulletin about what this course is. I'm going to give you a few minutes to fill this out, and then at the end of the service, there will be a box at the back to collect, or for you to place your response slips.